have a TV party tonight. All right!
We heard you missed us. We're back. It's live from the Five Hole. Facts is from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast. We are back after a week's hiatus. I am Sam Fells, your host.
The best hiatus we've ever had.
The best hiatus we've ever had. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Fellsgate. Going to change the intro a little bit because, yes, Slack and I were taking a brief vacation from this pod to do another pod. And we hope those of you who switched over to Wrestling Brain's AE Double Dudes Dynamite review on last Wednesday enjoyed our guest spot. I know we did. But more importantly,
you both had to be on fucking camera for that.
We did. Far more importantly, as a podcast, and we will speak for our 8 listeners, we took last week off because John became a father to Charlotte Persephone Funtaeus, and we are so happy for him, and we welcome him back into the fold to turn him back into the angry, bitter father that he will soon be.
Well, thank you, Sam. She had a lot of thoughts on Pedro Grifol and how much longer he's going to be manager.
Peter Griffin.
Came out of the shoot, and she also came out of the shoot, and Bears got on Hard Knocks, so she'll take credit for that.
So, indeed. So that's John. You've heard Matt. Of course, C-Slack is here as well. You know all the Twitter addresses, but I will run through them real quick. You can find Slack at Torque Penderloin. You can find Matt at Matt_McClure_, but please don't. And Bajan, the goal line assassin, the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and now Dad. Find him at Fifth Feather. There. Done. John, sort of stole the headline there, but since we've last done this, the big news, really, is that for the month of August, this podcast is going to be a TV review podcast.
As it always has been.
Let's hope they give a lot of time to Jaquan Brisker.
It's like the old Fifth Feather website. Wasn't there some TV?
We did some TV reviews. Yeah, we did The Walking Dead back
some.
When it was good.
Balls out.
I mean, we're going into the Wayback Machine now. So, I mean, I was even doing Lost stuff
on
the old website.
Did Bob
Lost was around during websites, but that's good.
Did Bob do any TV recaps?
I don't recall. Bob's not a big TV guy in general, so...
Bob's not a big guy in anything.
Not anymore.
So I guess I didn't realize, although I should have guessed, that the team itself gets the review of the final edits of every episode.
Yeah, they won't always have that in there that's going to make them look a certain
way. It's the astronaut with a gun meme, Sam. Always have been.
It'll be the Bears messaging. Which makes me wonder why they were so against this, if you get to basically shape it however you want.
Maybe because they can't control the McCaskies doing an entire episode of milk tasting.
But it's the McCaskies who have been kiboshing this.
They're going to do something so weird and off-putting, and they're going to say it's okay because they think it's going to like humanize them somehow.
Right.
It's going to be so
what kind of humans?
I'm still looking forward to it. I think by the time this thing is done and
they're gonna wheel out Ginny to 1901 Football Drive and make her watch a practice for this. And
Ginny will not be on this. She will be talked about. She might appear. It might have some archival footage of her.
Beer bet right now. I say Ginny gets a talking head segment. In her own home.
Now you're qualifying it. No, she's not getting a talking head segment. Beer bet. You're on. John, you want a part of this?
Will they show any footage of her at all?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Archival footage.
And they'll absolutely show...
Not archival. B-roll. Like, let's say at Hallis Hall, the one...
No, they're going to... Here's my bet. They're going to show her in her drawing room... cracking into a giant ostrich egg with a big spoon.
We'll obviously get B-roll and soft focus montage of the old man.
They will get B-roll of her and the old man, but only to explain who George is and why he's bothering people.
Will there be any footage of the Brian Piccolo movie?
Oh, almost certainly.
Yeah.
Who won the Piccolo Award last year?
I don't know.
So as big a Bears meatballs as my parents are, even my old man makes fun of the acting quality in Brian's song. Well, he'll do like the stammering Billy Deep. I love Brian Piccolo. Occasionally.
I've never seen that movie, by the way.
It's only like 65 minutes long because it was a TV movie.
Oh, okay.
Here's Darnell Wright was the winner of the Brian Piccolo Award.
Yeah, good for him.
So he'll get time. I bet they mentioned it there.
They're going to do the one guy who like is the will he, won't he make the team.
Valoose.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be Valoose.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the formula here. It's not going to change just for the Bears. And I don't think...
Are they going to helicopter Liev in?
No. I certainly think the meatballs out there will blame the show if the Bears start 2-2, 2-3, whatever I had them at.
Well, if they're whatever, people will blame whatever they want to blame. I mean, it's always something.
The only question I have is our opinion of Eberflus going to change by the time this is over?
Slightly, but not much.
Yeah, Sam, that's a good point. I have the opinion that he's going to become much more likable in that and affable in his appearances on the show. I feel like they're going to humanize him to the point where you're going to be like, oh, I hope he's better than a dope this year because I kind of like him now.
Don't we already know that he's pretty affable because we know the players love him?
For whatever reason.
Seen, like, behind the curtain.
That's how I feel. I feel like I kind of want him... I want to like him, but he has to win. If he doesn't win, I don't give a shit.
Plus, we'll get some shots of him around the house in Bannockburn or wherever.
Yeah, they'll do his like beehive Sycamore. Corner or whatever.
And his wife's actually kind of a number too.
That's all right. She'll probably get some screen time then.
We're pounding the table already. Clearly.
With what would be the question?
On the table for Mrs. Flues.
So, yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, I find training camp interminable. I don't really watch the preseason games past.
Well, like, this is going to be extra seasons. Long, too, because they got the Hall of Fame game because of Mongo and Devin.
I won't be watching the Hall of Fame game, but I will be watching the episode of Hard Knocks that centers around it.
I'm watching the Hall of Fame game, no question.
No question. You're breaking down tape.
What else is there going to be to do at that point in the summer?
Seppuku.
Jack shit. Yeah, Seppuku is right. I watched Shogun. I know how to do it now. So
I'll second you.
You didn't figure it out from the Kabuki Doug sketch on the skate from 1996.
So yeah, that's the big news. I feel like it's this show's policy that we don't care what happens at minicamp. We don't care about OTAs. Don't tell me who had a good day.
Stop. I don't care.
Oh, yeah. No, this is bullshit.
Everyone's in shorts and no pads. I don't care. I got my
YouTube algorithm pretty well fine-tuned, and I got Dan Wienerer talking about OTAs on the Holmes and Bernstein show, and I'm just, who the fuck is this for, honestly?
The real sickos.
Perverts and sycophants.
Yeah.
It's for people who want to call in and yell about something that doesn't matter.
Well, let's be fair. If John wasn't busy watching his family expand, he would have been out there in OTAs breaking down all the seven.
Never, Sam.
Who's to say Old Man Feather wasn't?
Right. Will you be bringing Charlotte to training camp, though, for your report?
Maybe in a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, still flying solo on this one.
Mm-hmm. But no, there's going to be an episode since it was run in ESPN. There will surely be an episode of George umpiring Illinois high school baseball games.
Why the fuck does he live all the way out in fucking Sycamore?
Where is Sycamore?
DeKalb.
My brother lives in Sycamore.
Yeah, but like, his place of business isn't Lake Forest or all the way downtown at Roosevelt.
How is George? Is he helicoptering? He doesn't have the money with his.
Yeah, they don't have the money for a helicopter.
They don't have the liquid cash. They've got the money, like,
so
in the team.
So what is he taking then? He's taking 90 all the way to 294.
Yeah, he takes Sugar Grove up to Plank.
Or taking,
Plank Road or 23 out there. Taking 90 out to 23 for the Genoa exit, and then and all the way down into Sycamore.
You really think George is coming in Monday through Friday?
No. Of course not.
Not a chance.
What kind of mileage does he get on a scooter?
I'm sure they're telling him, you know, please stay home. We don't
right. We don't need you around here.
Yeah, umpire more games, please.
Yeah, go umpire more games. I don't know, dude. I remember I think the last one I watched was the Bengals. And certainly Mike Brown couldn't keep himself off there, even though it made him look like a total tool. Do we think George ducks this somehow?
No.
I would be shocked if he's not. If they don't have. If he's not. Well, I guess.
I tell you what, Kevin Warren will volunteer to take all his time.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I feel like Kevin Warren will gladly take all the camera time that he can get.
Right. Oh, George isn't here. Well, here, I'll sit here for 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell you all about.
So here's what I'm doing. Google Maps tells me.
Oh, for
that at the main intersection of downtown Sycamore, I just chose Andale Taco Shop, basically at 64 North Avenue, if you drove it forever.
Is there such thing as downtown Sycamore?
Yeah, actually. I've been there, sadly.
It's downtown Elburn, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Well, hey, my former roommate has got the butcher shop there. So.
Windy Apple.
It's one of the best butcher shops in the state.
They've got their own craft beer now, too.
Fucking good. Reams is amazing.
Yes.
And the pizza shop across the street, Paisano's, is also quite good.
Well, is that the same Paisano's that the Malnati's own in downtown?
It's different unaffiliated Paisano's.
So you would want to take 23 up to Plank Road... through Burlington up to 47, then 47 to 90. 90 all the way in to Rosemont, to the airport, 294 up past, obviously, where it meets with the Edens at Lake Cook. Yeah, Lake Cook, and then get off at 60 at Town Line, and then a little bit off the exit is 1920 Football Drive. And in no traffic right now at 9:27 p.m., it's an hour and 12 minutes.
It's just awful.
Let me tell you, folks, that was the most invigorating minute and 15 seconds this podcast has ever done.
Well, you won't hear anybody else talking about George's commute into Hallis Hall.
No, there's a reason for that, John. There's a reason for that.
Lord, the kids are interested, though, Sam.
Lord help all three of you if you give me directions corner. Every week.
No, if I you get directions corner from you every week anyway. I don't need to put it on this fucking
get
thing.
Fucking commute corner.
So. Oh, now I lost.
Well, that's how John ended up at Garibaldi's last year.
Here's the other question. With Kevin Warren swallowing up half of every episode.
Hey.
How much stadium propaganda is he going to use it for? And can HBO kind of steer away from that at least?
I don't know who he'd be convincing by saying it on Hard Knocks.
Doesn't matter who we think he's convincing. It's who does he think he's convincing.
I'm guessing they'll cover the stadium a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get 5 minutes.
Because they do that like family night at Soldier Field or whatever, right?
They do.
So they can talk about it.
Yeah. Then. But, well, they usually do that before the first preseason game, but with the Hall of Fame game, I wonder if they're not going to.
They're not going to skip family night. That's
no, but it wouldn't. I'm just wondering because normally I think it would be before the cameras were rolling, but now no, it definitely would be.
I'm sure they get the cameras there well ahead of time.
So we're gonna be having Kevin Warren taking the camera crew on a tour of all the leaking bathrooms and the skyboxes without food and whatever else is going on.
The small concourses,
Only one way in, one way out of the toilet.
Yeah. That'll go over well. I'm sure that'll be a big hit. Who comes out of this looking better, Kevin Warren or Matt Eberflus?
Eberflus.
Oh, Matt Eberflus.
100%.
I wonder how. I'm more interested in how the coordinators are going to look, especially Waldron.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, well, actually, now I'm even more excited for Warren to look like a total buffoon on this thing. That's what I'm watching for.
If he calls the Bears Camelot, I have a lot of questions.
It's still, you know, 10 years later to this day, it's still fucking hilarious to me that he called the Blackhawks Camelot while sitting next to the equivalent of Teddy on the dais.
Well, as we're about to discuss, John McDonough's fingerprints are still very much on the Blackhawks. But before we do that, do we have anything else we want to say about Hard Knocks?
No, just not looking really forward to it.
Yeah. Just going to be an exciting time for everybody.
Indeed. It's all we have.
All right. Pivoting to the West Side Hockey Club, I'm going to start with a story.
Ha! Sox just blew that lead already. That was fast.
You knew they would.
Jesus Christ.
Did I not tell you the Lawrence play?
Fade the White Sox. It's easy. That's easy money. So anyway, many years ago, I was coming out of a breakup and my job had stalled and my life was pretty much a mess. And I was looking to get out of an apartment that I was in earlier than my lease allowed me to subletting.
Is this the one on Leland?
It does not matter.
It don't matter. None of this matters.
I went to look at a place that was very nice, but it had two rules, which was it was a condo, so I could only lease it for 2 years. And it had a rule that you were only allowed one pet when at the time I wanted to get a second dog, which I never ended up doing. I called my friend Matt, who's always good with advice, told him what the deal was. And he said, well, Sam, it sounds like you're making plans for things you don't have yet. You don't have a second dog, and you don't know where you're going to be in 2 years. So why are you budgeting for that now? And he was right. I didn't get that apartment. I ended up moving into a more expensive, smaller one that I wouldn't have liked as much. And to me, everything I read about the Chicago Blackhawks sounds exactly like that. They're budgeting for a future that isn't here yet and is in no way guaranteed to be here. For those who didn't see, our friend Scott Powers, and again, I'm going to put the disclaimer, we're not saying anything against our buddy Scott. He's just doing his job. That the Hawks might have some interest in Marty Natchez out of Carolina, but the overriding theme of Powers' thing today, once again, was that the Hawks are terrified of handing out any long-term contracts to anyone who didn't come through the system and who they don't know is going to be a core part of their team because they're worried about John McDonough-era cap problems, which they don't have yet. And they're a long way from getting to. And they're also forgetting they were the NHL's cup contender for 7 or 8 years, which is all anyone gets. So in Kyle's mind, he must think McDonough's and Bowman's work.
Kyle's mind, that's the spinoff from Herman's Head that nobody watched.
Indeed, that never went anywhere. He must think the Hawks lost out on a fourth cup I don't remember.
They did, and it was 2014.
Yeah, but that wasn't due to cap problems. That was due to Jeff Carter being offside. So Marty Natchez is fine. He's another center who you'd have to shelter, and you already have one of those.
Well, and the thing is, too, is with him being in Carolina to this point, you cannot trust any of those possession numbers to...
You can't. They're inflated. If you're looking at him, well, that's just diet Mitch Marner. And if you're saying, well, this is more affordable,
we have Mitch Marner at home.
I don't want to hear about more affordable right now when you're saying you have to keep Seth Jones to hit the salary floor.
Which they are $10,790,000 under at present.
And so
I mean, we're all yelling about all this stuff now, and we're going to find out what we have to be more competitive means while also somehow saving all this room to re-sign people who might not even be
well,
good.
Being more competitive right. Means giving Nick Foligno another 2 years, apparently.
Indeed. Well, let me throw this out there, and this is what they're terrified of. Let's say next year, before he is eligible to have an extension negotiated, Connor Bedard has a 35 goal season. Not bad. Not great.
He fucking better have 35 next year if he's healthy and he plays 80-ish.
35, but 35 is not, you know, that's not putting you in the Rocket Richard race. It's a good season. It's not great. Are you immediately handing him $13 million?
No.
So what are you so afraid of?
I think your point is what? Like, is essentially if they traded, they got Jones off the books. They bring in Marner. He's not all that. They don't pay him. Now they have all a bunch of money freed up again. So it's not a big deal, right? Okay.
That has been one of my theses.
I don't think that's crazy. I just think the way when I know I text the group this stuff and I feel like I agitate a little bit and I apologize. That's not how I want to come off. But I'm just coming at it from what I think Kyle Davidson is thinking.
And that Kyle Davidson is thinking, I'm a bitch and I don't want to open the window. Yes.
You're correct. He's a bitch. He's afraid to do anything that might rock any boats, real or theoretical. And it's going to be a chore watching this team crawl towards relevancy.
Yes. Slack, the Marner thing, yes, but this is more abstract. I'm not even really worried about actual names here. It's this the idea that in a league where the cap is going to keep going up now, you have
dead money that is decaying and wilting off in rapid fashion here.
You have one guy that you know you're going to have to hand a big contract to. One!
One guy, yes, correct.
Now, that doesn't mean I want the Hawks to go out on some spending spree this July. First of all, the free agent market isn't that good. And second, that's not how I think it should be done. But the idea that the first narrative they want all their fans to know and to hear is that we're not gonna handicap ourselves financially. It's just that's a fucked up message. When you only have one guy you need to pay. You paid Vlasic, he's not making really anything.
What are we handicapping from? Like what are you talking about?
Right.
It's crazy. So I guess the point is, I don't know if Scott listens to this. I doubt it, but
I doubt it. And if he does, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I don't understand, like, if he's getting this information directly from them or
reliable sources internally that
reliable sources in within the organization. Maybe it's not coming from Kyle directly, but people know are giving this. Scott's never been one to like, blow stuff out of his ass that we laugh at later. He's usually pretty good.
No. Of course not.
Now, maybe this is just preparing, you know, lowering the bar so that when they do something, people are even more excited about it because it comes more out of
like when you show up at Tango Sur and they tell you an hour and a half and you get seated in 25 minutes.
Precisely. Kyle Davidson, Major D at Tango Sur. But it just every time Scott or Mark or our Black Pill Benny
or Jay
writes about Hawks offseason plans or Hawks future plans, it always comes with a disclaimer, the caveat, the headline that their first priority is to not be in cap hell 6 years down the line. How do you know what the cap's going to be 5-6 years down the line? How do you know who the players are that you're going to want to pay? It just seems so. I guess there's this feeling with the Hawks that their fans are so scarred from the Hawks being in cap hell. But all Hawks fans remember are the three cups. I'm not scarred from cap hell. Sure, I hated the Tavo trade and I hated the Bickle contract and the Seabrook contract. As long as you don't let Kevin Warren walk in and hand out these extensions, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, to Andrew's point earlier and to Sam, to what you're discussing right now, it's interesting that Kyle is so concerned about 6 years down the road. Because we're in year three of his tenure now, or three and a half, or two and a half?
This is what he gained by osmosis by sitting at the right hand of Stan.
I guess, but to me, it's kind of weird that he would be so concerned about 6 years down the road. How do you know that you're going to be here 6 days?
Exactly.
You don't.
Right.
If you don't improve this team, you're not going to be here.
If you're talking about, if you're the guy talking about that, then it seems like you have reassurances from Danny Boy that you will be.
If they suck for two more years, Danny Boy's not going to be a Kyle advocate.
I get, I wouldn't think so, but the way that they talk about it and the way that they're so concerned about getting tied up with guys with contracts in their mid to late 30s, that's either now that we're talking about it and we're talking it through, perhaps that's an edict from Danny Boy that says you're not allowed to do this. And so
the biggest building in the league is 90-ish% full. So what the fuck?
Also, his salary cap. I mean, he knows what he's spending on salary.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think this is Kyle. I don't think it's ownership.
I think
he sold them on, I will like do this correctly and I'll make it more sustainable than the last time, which is like, how much more could you possibly ask for?
Exactly.
Than
Jesus
three goddamn
Christ.
Championships. Right. It's crazy.
And the last
and
time.
Title window of eight seasons.
And lest we forget, the last time they were properly in the playoffs in 2017 when Nashville swept their dumbasses right out. They were the
relevancy.
They were the one seed.
Yep.
They won the Western Conference over the course of 82 games.
And I remember the episode that we did to preview the playoffs where we charted a path for them to make it all to win the West again. It wasn't out of that far if they had gotten past Nashville. Because, I mean, look, Nashville won the West that year. So it wasn't a difficult route for them to win the West if they hadn't gotten steamrolled by Nashville. And really, we don't have to break down that series.
It feels like Kyle and Danny and whoever else is in this front office have learned some really strange lessons from an era where you won three cups.
Well, and that provides the segue that I talked to you about, Sam, and I wanted to expand it out to both league-wide and to John and Andrew, which in all leagues are copycat leagues. Everyone always says so, apparently. With the final that we're looking at here with Edmonton and Florida, where Edmonton has basically had the same two dominant, you know, scoring machines for a while, and just finally they stopped tripping over their own fucking dicks. And now Florida, who was good but had to retool on the fly.
Just decided to,
where they took, you know, they see a player coming available that normally should not or would not in the dreaded Laramie. And they swing the big trade, and they went out and spent on Bob, whether that was ultimately the good money to be spent. They internally saw a need and they paid a premium to get what they thought was the top option out there. So,
yeah, we're in this a Panther podcast. We could talk about Bob at great length because I don't honestly think he's giving the Panthers much more than slightly above replacement level goaltending. Slightly above average goaltending.
The save percentage bears that out for sure. But again, the shots and shot attempts go way down when Sasha Barkov is all the way up the asshole of the top center on the other side.
I was listening to Elliot and Merrick yesterday, and Elliot, who I generally think is pretty smart, had said, well, Bobrovsky just now dueled Shesterkin, and I'm like, no, he didn't.
No, he did not. I remember texting you guys saying that, like, you know, Shesterkin's given up four, but he's out of his mind in this game.
Well, let's reel this back a little bit. First of all, the Hawks are already copying the Oilers because they have the generational centerpiece. I am sure they look at Evan Bouchard and tell Korchinski do that, and
completely different style of player though.
But your number one go get him defenseman,
true.
And they have an opportunity to draft what they will hope will be a Draisaitl at number two this year. They're already on that path. Let's reel it back. There was a line in Powers's thing about how, I don't know if it comes straight from if Kyle said it or he's just sort of inferring that the last thing the Hawks want to do is sign someone to a contract that they're good for the first half of and bad for the second half of. And I'm like, but that's the deal. That's what you do. That's how this works. And like, so just taking Marner, for example, you sign him to a 7-year deal or an 8-year deal if he's your team and you get 4 good years out of him. Okay, that's 4 years the cap goes up. And if he starts to decline, you fucking figure it out.
Yeah, you give him a rash on his body from his underarm.
Right,
you give him leprosy,
or you keep drafting well so that even though he's on your third line making whatever, you have cheap first liners. I mean, none of this works.
Trade him to Utah.
Trade him to Utah. None of this works without drafting well. This was Stan's big problem, is he couldn't really draft another prime player after Sod. He didn't have any. He didn't really have.
Well, he did. He just had to package him to unload Brian Bickle.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But that's a problem. And still, they won 3 cups.
And that's what has haunted Kyle Davidson every.
Yeah, and apparently Kyle Davidson was locked in a box somewhere during the parades or something, and missed the fact that they won. It's just very strange that this is like the prime message they want out there.
The other problem is we're not asking you to win 3 cups. We're asking you to be a competitive hockey team. Make the playoffs.
Yeah, you know what? I was watching the Oilers on Sunday.
Don't make yourselves look like an asshole.
I'm seeing how all those fans react. And again, they've waited way longer for a finalist than we have here. I want back in. I want to watch those games again here. I want to feel something like that.
I would show her boobs in the crowd or whatever's going on over there.
I would not like to have to watch a hockey game wherein I am invested in the team that is protecting a lead and has only put up 10 shots.
Yeah, I don't want that. But like
that seems like abject hell.
The main message seems to be from Kyle is, don't worry, folks. We're not going to sign any players you might like for more than 5 years. What?
I want to get to a part of Scott's column that equally irritated my peppers.
Yeah, okay.
Is that even allowed? Or now that you're a dad, they're allowed to be irritated?
Mm-hmm. No, they're allowed to
six,
be irritated.
You got 6 weeks till you can irritate your peppers again.
No, it kind of segues to what Sam was saying. So we're staying on track here. But so there's a part in Scott's thing where he says, Davidson is likely attached to a lot of his prospects, especially not knowing exactly what they are yet. Players like Wyatt Kaiser and Lucas Reichel likely equate to plus prospects, but they're also players Davidson probably still has high hopes for and probably wouldn't want to trade. It would contradict his rebuild plan.
I know where this is going, and I can't wait for it.
Are we in season 3 or season 4 now of Lucas Reichel as an NHL player?
4 in the organization.
And didn't he come up his rookie, like his draft year?
I don't think. Or did they wait? He did.
Anyways, you know who he is at this point.
Yeah,
this is the
same
guy you were talking about that he is like basically done. And the only reason why he's still continuing to get a shot is because the Hawks are so bad.
And he's cheap as shit.
Yeah. How do you not know who he is?
Parts of 3 seasons.
What are you waiting for? What are you waiting to see? Wyatt Kaiser, I understand. Because he's a defenseman, he's a completely different era.
And for some reason, we had to keep watching Jared Goddamn Tenorti,
right?
And Smegma out there,
right? You don't know who he is, but yet you don't play him to find out who he is.
I mean,
that to me was the most concerning thing that I saw.
That's the most concerning.
You don't know who Lucas Reichel is at this point. You have high hopes for him. You think he's going to be a perennial 20 goal scorer?
He's based a lottery ticket at this point.
Based on what?
Maybe they're scarred by the ghost of Gustav Forsling now.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I like Wyatt Kaiser, but
multiple
like,
teams are
his ceiling, and this is penthouse ceiling. He'll never probably reach his number 4 defenseman. You should be able to find those easy. That doesn't mean they have any trade value, but like again. John, I think what you're getting at is if he's so attached to these prospects, when it comes time to move them, because they're not all going to be Hawks, is he going to be able to do it, or is he going to, you know, be doing
right.
the Wolverine
well, I mean,
meme,
yeah, exactly, Sam.
Running his fingers over the framed picture?
Right. If you're having second thoughts about trading Lucas Reichel to get Marty Natchez, what? you're not
Marty
trading
naked.
Anybody.
Marty naked.
Marty, you're afraid to trade anybody then. If that's the package that it would take, it would be Lucas Reichel and you're 18 for Natchez. You're hesitant to do that based on the last three seasons of what you've seen from Lucas Reichel, especially this last season where you scratched him 14 different times.
Sent him down.
Got him upstairs, got him out of here.
You can't be afraid to lose a trade. This is pro sports. You're going to lose trades.
Yeah. Brandon Saad, hello.
you might lose Brandon Saad.
I hate him forever for whatever reason. It's just not possible for me to have any fond memories of him. It's so bad.
I only have fond memories of him, honestly.
St. Louis Blue, Brandon Saad.
He's hesitant to trade guys like that at this point for premier. Well, I mean, I don't know if Natchez is a premier player, but he would be on this roster. And
he's a top winger or he's a second center. I mean, mm-hmm. He's
on the top power play unit, one way or the other.
That's what he wants.
And you're afraid to trade for him because of Lucas Reichel
or Wyatt Kaiser?
Yeah,
Wyatt Kaiser will never be a pro. That's worth a goddamn, and I can just say that because his name is Wyatt Kaiser.
Yeah. Wykai.
I mean, it's like
people. Does he still regret trading Klaus Dahlbeck for Antoine Vermette? Is that what we're hanging on to here?
I mean, I don't.
As Jared,
that was nine years ago, by the way.
That's the type of guy that Wyatt Kaiser would be. He'd be Klaus Dahlbeck. That's who you're worried about trading, or who was the other right-handed defenseman that they had that they traded?
Clendenning.
Yep, Clendenning. He played for 40 different teams.
Borinka.
Mm-hmm.
Trash.
Just a brother named Antoine.
And we haven't even gotten into the fact that they have 7,000 draft picks over the next
to toss in as sweeteners.
So that brings me to a point that I wanted to bring up to you three, because I don't think we talked about this. That weird-ass trade with New York. That felt like a trade that leads to another move. Yes,
they moved up three spots in the first round.
They clearly like somebody.
How do you know who's there at that point of a first round? There's no way. So what was the reason? It can't be that. That doesn't make sense at all.
What makes more sense is that we think if we really need to move up, the 18th pick is more desirable than the 21st or whatever.
Right.
Well, and that brings it around to the original point too of Kyle being a bitch is is at least Lou will flat out tell you, I don't want to pay these players this much goddamn money. They don't deserve it. For all of his faults.
I was seeing something today where if my guy, Caden Lindstrom, somehow slipped to 8 or 9 or 10.
If you have a guy in this draft, Sam, you need to go and introduce yourself to your neighbors when you move here.
Pervert re-education camp for Sam.
I had to pick a guy, so I picked a guy.
Pick your nose.
I do that too.
All right, good.
It's mixed messaging because Kyle came out in his postseason
And said we can't be shit anymore.
We can't be in the lot. We can't be top five in the lottery again. We got to start, you know, improving, beating the table. What's our phrase?
Pounding the table.
Pounding the table. How could various you
pumping, appendages. Pumping his tits.
Pumping his tits.
Pounding no, that's what table. We're doing over here.
And then every story that's come out since is, well, the Hawks don't want to lock anyone into a contract. You can't do that. You can't do it both ways.
But then also, why are you just dealing with the vestigial, interminable contract that Seth Jones has? Why would you not try to unload that if you don't want to be locked into anything?
Right. Which you can lock in for 1 year.
Because of the floor.
I've now seen three reputable NHL reporters float Seth Jones for Mitch Marner.
Yes, it's happening a lot. Yes. This brings me to my main axiom, if you will. All contracts.
Kyle's a bitch.
All contracts are bad. Yeah. Someone signed a contract? Terrible. Terrible. Terrible deal. Anytime a hockey contract gets signed on Twitter, go look. Everyone's just saying it's a horrible deal every single time.
Unless it is
it's the revert.
Unless it's Mark Arcabello or Frank Corrado.
It's the reverse of Slack's draft bit.
Yes.
That's exactly like a, right. Every draft
bit. They're two sides of the same. It's the two sides of the same coin, really.
Yeah.
Or where you trade for a guy and then they show like his three best plays ever and you're like, this guy looks pretty good.
I was throwing this scenario out there today for Matt. If you were able to pull that deal off Marner and Jones and say Marner walks, and now you've got all this cap flexibility. Igor Shesterkin is entering the last year of his deal. The buzz today was that he is not going to sign an extension before he hits the market.
He literally made the joke, no speaking of English, to the assembled media.
The Rangers, given that everyone important on that team other than him is over 30.
Is he Italian now?
Yeah. If they flame out in the first round next year or something like that, and he's like, this isn't going to go forward, isn't that a guy you'd break the bank for?
He doesn't want to be around Larry Brooks anymore, so he'll come to Chicago.
There's no Larry Brooks here.
Nope. Just again, Bowers and Laz.
Well, and Larry Brooks is lucky that Dan Boyle didn't kill him 10 years ago.
I mean, if just
and Dan Boyle gets to hang out with Faith No More, so you know he's about that life.
If Shesterkin gets to the open market, and you're still telling me about Arvid Fever or Meso for Comesso, and you don't want to lock yourself into any deal, that's it. I'm out. I'm done.
Tell your ticket rep for that one, Sam.
Yeah, I will.
You think your ticket rep will pass the feedback on to he Kyle will. Directly?
Oh, absolutely.
You should email him every week just the permalink to the MP3 of the podcast.
I wonder how Danny and Kyle would have treated me if I were still doing the program or if someone else were doing a similar thing.
they would
get on the couch?
They would have bought you Quiznos or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I think there would have been some outreach.
They would have
gotten some outreach, yep.
You would have gotten the chicken salsa verde from Jersey Mike's.
Right. Well, none of you listening get excited just because I'm unemployed doesn't mean I'm taking a step back. So we're not doing that.
I don't know. Can Emerald get you in the door, or is that long gone?
Long.
I was going to say you're having your own Summer of George, but Summer of Sam has already been taken. So
right. Yeah.
I don't know. PJ's got things she wants to tell people, so.
PJ's got a lot of things at this point. Almost none of them good. All right, I've said my piece. Is that Hawks Corner?
We covered it.
Do we want
Black,
to?
Do you want to do Sky Corner?
No.
No.
No, I gate kept that for him.
Baseball corner is closed, especially tonight with the saddest baseball game going on.
Do we want to talk about the Cup final at all, or
we can do predictions. I'm gonna say Cats and six.
Yeah, I like Florida.
But even though Sam said that if McDavid goes nuclear, then Bob
he could.
Because Sasha Barkov is going to be fist fucking him the entire time.
I mean, it would be.
It's going to need rare. To be Leon if it's going to be anyone.
No, I mean, it would be rare, but it would be different and it would be exciting because the Stanley Cup final and the playoffs in general are so rarely, if ever, one by one guy the way the NBA or NFL can be. If McDavid did it, it would be awesome.
Arguably the last time it was done was Duncan Keith in 2015.
Yeah, I mean, but like this would have to look totally different. He's going to
obviously,
go, like,
yeah.
6, 10, 16 in 6 games or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he already is in, like, the whatever, you know, the infographic is of quickest to 30 points in a playoff year.
Or was it quickest to multiple 30-point playoff years?
Either way, it was fucking stupid. And that first goal was, yeah.
I mean, crazy. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. This is of the four.
This is what we said a month and a half ago. This is the most fun series.
And these are probably the two best teams. I don't know how often we say, like, these are likely the two best teams meeting in the final. But, yeah, I mean, Edmonton's played at a 125-point pace since they changed coaches. Florida was clearly the best team in the East. So, yeah, it should be fun. Stylistically on your television, going to look great.
And I'm just glad, too, that the Oilers won just so we didn't get the fucking standing goddamn hill rods in Dallas.
Get a new camera angle, people.
Yeah, get a new... Well, no, but also turn your hat the right way and sit the fuck down.
I don't mind the standing up, but you got to raise... Like, they raised the camera in Florida for the same reason they did it old Joe Louis. Remember? They had a higher angle for when...
But at the Joe, it was only when... Because the wings attacked to the left first and third. So it was primarily a problem, like, if they were rallying in the third, you'd get people, like, you know, effectively in your seats, Sam, the last seats before the press box or the camera wells, standing up when no one that really mattered, the press, was behind them. So
go sit down.
Go sit down.
All right. We got a hard out for our new father, so we got to get to the Cretans.
All right. I should have been more prepared. I should have had the questions up like I normally do.
It's quite all right. I've left you a large window here so that you can rifle through.
Because I slipped and it was a late clearing call, we've only got a couple questions here, so... All right, let's start it off right away in the wheelhouse for Papa John here, his guy, Crypto Fartcoin. How many episodes into Hard Knocks until we see Kevin Warren genuflecting in prayer to Magic Sky Lord? I guess that means Halas. And how many minutes into episode one before the whole world sees how fucked up and backward the whole operation is?
10 minutes.
Yeah. I think the first board meeting or whatever meeting that they get into, you'll see it there.
I want to see it looking like the judge from Nothing But Trouble or whatever, or, you know, like the McCaskies. What? Oh God, just animals.
Or the McPoyle family wedding episode of Sonny.
I'm so intrigued to see how the first episode opens. Is it going to be Kevin Warren waking up at 3 a.m. doing his Mark Wahlberg routine?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. Getting on holo.com.
Stay prayed up.
The only other option is Caleb Williams getting up at 5 in the morning or whatever to study film. But Kevin Warren will then edit himself in, sitting in with Caleb Williams studying film. He's going to break down tape with our new quarterback. I would be shocked if this thing runs more than 7 to 10 minutes without Kevin Warren eating scenery in a documentary somehow.
I can't wait.
I wonder if they're gonna be like, if, because obviously ownership for each franchise has editorial control, I wonder if they're going to ask HBO to minimize the cursing.
Probably.
Or if someone, like, if they accidentally, like, catch someone hanging dong in.
I wouldn't make it anyway.
Anyone want to take that prop bet?
No,
just hanging dong. Who's going to be dong? Moving on.
Not who, but if.
Okay.
All right. I even beseeched the Cretans, which I think was an Elvis Costello record, for long time first times out there to come forward, got nothing. So all we got is long time guys here. Greg Landry, did anyone see The Fall Guy? Man, I want to, but there's too much else going on. Is there, Greg?
I have not as of yet.
And I kind of want to. It's hit video on demand, and therefore the perfectly and totally legal way of obtaining movies is, it's also out there. And I've heard nothing but good things. And Gosling's awesome. Emily Blunt is 75,000 times the actor that her fucking garbage husband is. So
I have no time for love stories. Pass.
Other than your own.
Yes, because it's nice.
It is.
But I don't know. It doesn't seem all that intriguing to me. I'm not into it.
No, also, I just, like, well,
they're always tan and sweaty and fuck.
I don't know, but I just kind of like Gosling playing a dope, though. Like
I do too, but I like the nice guy's dope, not this horseshit. Yeah.
I just want Nice Guys 2, really.
And it's another fucking movie that they took old IP to make a movie out of.
This is true. This is true.
Something new, for fuck's sake. Tired of it.
I fuck it.
Hollywood Corner.
I agree with you. Even though I still... Hollywood Corner. Yeah. It's got to play. It's got to play in China, Slack.
So, Matt, are you going to go see Deadpool versus Wolverine or whatever the fuck it is?
I saw the first two Deadpools in the theater.
No, Ryan Reynolds. It's too much. It's too.
I'll probably wait for this one to get to HBO. That's what I'll probably.
Although I will admit, them going with the mouth fucking popcorn bucket after the Doom Wormosy fiasco is pretty funny, but like. That's probably funnier than anything that's actually going to be in the movie.
I don't know. I enjoyed the first two.
The first, and again, the best joke in the first one was the opening credits where the role Ryan Reynolds was cast as God's perfect idiot. Like, that's...
Right.
What else do you need past that?
Andrew's point...
Is Marina Baccarin going to be in this one?
No, she's dead.
For real this time?
Maybe. I'm assuming.
It's like wrestling. Nobody dies in these
movies.
This is more multiverse bullshit to bring everything back in. So,
John?
No, I was going to say to Andrew's point about Hollywood Corner and do something new. There's like three actors that get jobs anymore.
Yes.
Oh, Andrew's
Anna
head.
Nicole Taylor Smith Joy.
Andrew's head is peppers Joy. Hot about this for about 2 months.
Timmy Chalamet and Austin Butler. Those are your three actors.
Zendaya. You forgot one. Jenna Ortega.
I don't even know who that is.
She only does the one thing.
She does everything, Sam.
Speaking of the new Beetlejuice,
she's in Scream now. She's doing the new Beetlejuice. Right, and so she's doing the stupid Addams Family show on Netflix that everybody's got.
All through. Recycled IP, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, all recycled IP. It's
with a recycled actress.
Insane.
Yeah. But you couldn't find somebody new for Beetlejuice. You couldn't find a new up and coming. Why do you have to use Morticia or Wednesday Addams?
And on top of this,
also another goth movie.
All the celebs are now doing commercials instead of actors who are trying to catch a break.
Well, that's been the thing of the voice acting community now for a very long time too.
It's infuriating. How much money does Will Arnett fucking need?
And how did Anna Nicole Taylor Smith Joy become anything?
I don't know. She looks.
Like I don't bum. Like her. There's nothing that she's done that's been good, other than the M. Night Shyamalan movie that I really
like. The menu?
I like the menu.
No,
but
the
not
menu sucked.
No, it was fun. It was
no,
a fun
John,
movie.
It was boring.
You can't take the menu seriously.
John's not a food show watching guy like me and you are,
that's
though,
right,
Andrew.
I'm not.
John,
Do we need to do Top Chef Corner?
Was in it.
No Top Chef Corner. I get that on my text thread more than enough.
Did anyone, speaking of original IP and Zendaya, did anyone else here watch Challengers?
Not yet.
I've not seen it, no.
It's too horny.
No,
too horny.
It's
very horny.
Oh, no, okay, I've seen it. I've seen it.
Oh.
And it is...
There's a review.
It is not as explicitly horny as the trailers and all the write-ups would make you think, but it is subtextually gayer.
Oh, yeah.
It would make you think, and also...
I thought it was extremely gay off the bat. I don't know how much.
No, I did too, Andrew. So there you go.
We got to roll through.
And also, it's a Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross score too.
Can't go wrong there.
Not interested.
It's just the last one that I've got here is just Mark Yasudis. Which one of the Garbage Sons raises the cup? This year, does Edmonton have any Garbage Sons?
That's what I was wondering.
Darnell Nurse is a garbage nephew. He's Donovan McNabb's nephew, so
yeah. But nothing from the McNabb family is garbage. He's the garbage brother, isn't his Is that better than he is?
No, Sarah
has a Chicago ties.
Yes, it does, and Sarah is his cousin.
Sarah's his cousin.
I thought it was his sister.
No, I don't think there are. Are there? We're missing somebody?
All right, let me look at the roster quick.
They also have a member of the tribe on the top line, though.
The all-time, my guy on my hockey team, Eric and I, who is also a member of the tribe, we were hashing this out. Hyman is the all-time leading single-season tribesman goal scorer.
How many tribesmen have lifted the cup?
Let's see here. Matthew Schneider, never. I'm trying to think about. No. Because Adam Fox has taken home postseason hardware. That's Jewish excellence right there. Or regular season hardware. Sam Gagne, John's guy, is a garbage son.
Dave?
Yep.
And Corey Perry is a garbage son just by virtue of the fact that his old man's a cop. Yeah, I said it.
Redemption story. Great story.
Yeah, give us more.
Was Jason Zucker on one of the Penguins teams?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Mike Camilleri never won anything.
Fuck him.
The secretly Jewish Mike Camilleri. That's a
cheap shotted Marty Havlat, did he not?
Yes, he did. And then Havlat scored in overtime.
Yes, that's right.
Got his peppers hot.
My peppers are still hot.
All right, then. That's the content you come for. Commute corner and Jewish hockey player corner. That's what we're here for.
Should we do Big Italian Hooters corner?
We already did Big Italian Hooters
corner. And by the way, Sam, obviously, the fucking Bob Nystrom. He converted, right. But still, that's four.
All right. For John, for Slack, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share so that we have
not this one, though.
First time Cretans next time we do this.
With more notice, I fucked up on this one.
Until then, top guys out.